Psalms 34. I'm going to start reading tonight, just deal with two verses found in Psalms 34, verses we'll read 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And he done something when he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, verse 8, where I'd like to bring a text verse from tonight. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You may be seated this evening. Father, we thank you for the good day that you've shared with us today. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good service we had this morning. Lord, I pray now that you'd help us tonight. Lord, it may be a blessing to your people. Pray for these prayer requests that's been spoken. God, that you would help each need and see about each one. Pray now you'd let us be a blessing. We'll be careful to honor you. Thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Well, the psalmist David's writing, and he says, I want you to taste and see that the Lord's good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You'll notice there's the word blessed. It's wonderful to be blessed. But tonight I want to preach on five people that God can't bless. Five people that God can't bless. I think we all say a lot of times, well, I sure wish God was a blessing me. Well, I might be looking in the Word of God and see why he's not a blessing me. As a matter of fact, if you'll look around, he is a blessing you. But first of all, five people God can't bless. Number one, he can't bless the unwilling. The unwilling. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find it on page 334. But 1 Samuel 15, you'll find here that Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, and when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Saul said to the Kenites, go to part, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you've shown kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah till thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of his sheep, and the oxen, the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they destroyed utterly. In verse 10, then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I've set up Saul to be king, for he's turned his back from following me, hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. The Bible said when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. Behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul and said to him, blessed be thou the Lord, I perform the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, well, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they've brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice the Lord the God, and the rest we've utterly destroyed. And Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I'll tell you what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Sounds like to me that Saul got a little too big for his britches. And he says this. He goes on and he tells Saul what reminds him what God had told him to do. Saul didn't mind him. Then in verse 22, talking about people God can't bless, it's the unwilling. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Unwilling. People that are very unwilling. You know, nothing is easy to the unwilling. If you're unwilling to do as God asked us to do, God can't bless us. We've got to be willing to follow the roadmap in life, which is this book. And certainly, as we've already discussed this morning, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want something good for your life, get in this book and live out of it. Our problem with our church, it's not we don't get preaching, we don't apply preaching. And certainly God cannot bless the unwilling. Number two, God cannot bless the unconcerned. In Galatians chapter, let's look at this. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 4. And it'll be a story pretty familiar to people. But in Genesis chapter number 4, we've seen where Saul was unwilling to mind the Lord. We've got to be willing to mind him. And I want to say something, being willing. Sometimes you got to understand his ways are not our ways. And his formulas and his math is not like our math. But aren't you glad we've got a God in heaven we can trust that we'll mind him? God's not looking for intellects. God's looking just for people to mind him. And God's reminded me that many times. He's not looking to see how educated that I can become, and I'm not against education. He's not interested in how many meetings I can preach a year. He's not interested in the things so many times that really affect us. God is interested, are we willing or not? Are you willing? You know, when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, God wasn't wanting Isaac. He's wanting Abraham to be willing. And certainly, as a child of God, we must realize God wants us to be willing. Lord, I'll serve you. I'll do what you ask me to do. I'm willing to obey you. But secondly here, in another story in Genesis 4, in verse number 8, not only will he not bless or cannot bless the unwilling, but he cannot bless the unconcerned. In Genesis 4, verse number 8, the Bible said, "And Cain," now the first sons of Adam and Eve get together, "and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, thy brother?' And he said, 'I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?'" The unconcerned. We live in a very unconcerned society. We live in a very unconcerned culture. Nobody's worried about their neighbor. In the passage in the Bible that we ought to treat our neighbor as we want to be treated. "Treat thy neighbor as thyself," I think, is in the Bible. And so certainly God cannot bless the unconcerned. You'll notice also in Galatians 5, and Paul was writing in Galatians 5, and we look in verse number 4, and he asked this congregation something. He said, "Is Christ become of no effect unto you? Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." He said, verse 7, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" The unconcerned. Boy, I find myself many times seeing people that are so unconcerned. When's the last time that you've had a burden for your brother, for your sister, for your mother, for your daddy, for your children? You know, I still believe that prayer changes things. I think the reason we don't see more than what we see in the day and hour we live, God's not changed. People's changed. We have an unconcern. We think, well, you know, I've got saved. My young'uns are saved. Well, what about the ones, young'uns, on the pew in front of you or behind you or beside of you that's not saved? Boy, we ought to have a concern for lost people. You know, a lot of times we see a drunkard walking up the road with a brown bag in his hand and we simply just sort of smudge it off. But, you know, really deep down inside, I'm afraid we've all got a touch of unconcern, don't we? It really goes home with everybody tonight. And boy, God cannot bless the unconcerned. God blesses concerned people. I'm glad there's been people that's concerned in my life. Aren't you thankful for people that's been concerned about you? You know, you may be surprised, people that you think would never come to church, they might come if you go and invite them. If somebody would just be concerned. Somebody's just wanting to know that somebody's thinking about somebody else but ourselves. Oh my, unconcern is a terrible thing. Paul said, "You were running well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" So, number three, not only people God can't bless are the unwilling and the unconcerned, but number three is the unthankful. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I just don't see God blessing many people that's unthankful. Do you? In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 1, he said, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times or grievous times, uncertain times, what shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters." Boy, here's a word that'll bring you down in a hurry. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. And here's the word, unthankful and unholy. You know, we would worry a lot less if we praised Him more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. We get so accustomed to His goodness, it becomes routine. It's sort of like the young man I was telling you about this morning, as I'd tried to befriend and be kind. Then he accepted that as, well, now that's the way we're going to do things from here on out. We ought to be a thankful people. You know, God loves us to thank Him and to praise Him. I hope every family we've got prays over their meal. I think that it's a public testimony that we have prayer. And can I tell you, God's put everything that's on your table tonight. And if you think that you put it there, then I'll remind you of this, as fast as it came, it can leave a lot quicker. And so God is a good God, and He deserves all of our praise. And we ought to be a thankful people. I don't see any churches, I don't see any congregation, I don't see any families that's being blessed that's unthankful. And Liberty Baptist Church, we better go to getting in the thanking business and realizing where God has brought us from spiritually. We're on our way to hell. What if God would have left you alone? What if Christ hadn't have took your sin on the cross? It don't take you long as you reminisce and remember where you was. And so tonight, God does not bless the unthankful. You know, I read a phrase from a man that said, I was angry when I had no shoes to put on, but then I met a man who had no feet. And certainly it don't take you long to look down the road just to see how blessed you are. And go with me a few evenings through a few places and you'll realize how blessed you are. Go in the Eggleston Hospital, Mom and Daddy's, where babies are laying there with no hope and no chance. And your little youngin's running around and you get so frustrated. And I know children can bring frustration, amen. But what if your little youngin, what if you just go into the graveyard with them tomorrow? You ought to be thankful for what you've got. And you ought to be thanking God of how good that it is. You know, I've always said this. I wished I could take my children to Honduras. I went there one time. And that was the first really poverty-stricken people I'd ever seen was at Honduras. We landed there, and the Pizza Hut had shotgun guards on the doorsteps. I looked. Every business had their own hired guard. The place that we stayed in, the hotel, had two guards walking up and down the porches. I remember we paid one guard $5 to watch our suitcase in the back of a pickup while we enjoyed a good sausage pizza. Somebody say amen right there. And then as I went to the Philippines, I started seeing children as they was just living out of dumpsters and seeing a culture of just really how blessed America is. I've always wished my children could have went with me and seen how other children are doing without, just to really see what our children really have. It's amazing to me how good God has been to us. It's amazing to me. Churches all across this country struggling. God's been so good to us. And God has never intended to bless us that we would become unthankful. Don't get unthankful. God cannot bless unthankfulness. Then, number four tonight, God cannot bless unwillingness, unconcernedness, unthankfulness, but God will not bless unforgiveness. In Mark's Gospel, chapter number 11, in Mark 11, in verse number 22, Jesus is writing. And He said in Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Time out. If you would tonight, I want you to notice something that the Bible has just told us. He said in verse 25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Some of you are waiting for somebody to come apologize to you. You're going to be waiting on a long time. You got to find it within yourself and myself to forgive in spite of them not asking you for forgiveness. But if we do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now I want to say this about unforgiveness. Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them more. To err is human. We all make mistakes. But to forgive is divine. Forgiveness is the economy of the heart. Forgiveness saves the expense of anger, the cost of hatred, and the waste of lots of energy. When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure do change the future. I need to say that again. I felt God on that statement. When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure do change the future. What are you talking about? I'm talking about if you don't forgive people, then they hold you in a spell that you ought to not be held in. You're put in a jail. You're in shackles. Because you're sitting around waiting on somebody else to be a Christian when you're supposed to be a Christian first. Forgive them. What Jesus said. Didn't he cry it from the cross? Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is a hard thing. You'll not find it in the flesh. Our nature, instead of forgiveness, we don't want to get even. We want to get ahead. We want to do more to hurt that person. But I'm going to tell you, when somebody holds you in bondage because of hatred, it's your fault. It's not theirs. Tonight, you will know forgiveness has begun when you recall those who have hurt you and you feel the power to wish them well. Watch this. Forgiveness is a gift you give to yourself. There's nothing no worse than unforgiveness. I'm sure I'm not the only person here that has been mistreated or somebody's done something to offend you or me. Maybe somebody's stolen from you or stolen from me, or we find something they've done to us quite offensive. Well, if you have hatred and animosity in your heart toward them, they're holding you captive. I mean, they've got a gun to your head, and the only way you can set free is to forgive them. And it don't matter if they ask you to forgive them first or not. What did Jesus just say? He said, you better be in the forgiving business if you want me to be in the forgiving business. Oh, it's quiet on a Sunday night. Unforgiveness, it's hard to get it down too, isn't it? I tell you what's hard to get it down when they do something, laugh at you. That just takes it to another level to me. You know, I'm careful to make statements about what I do and what I don't do and what bothers me and don't bothers me. But I'm going to tell you something. When people misuse you or abuse you, and do something intentionally to you, and then they laugh to you about it. Well, it's up to you whether if you forgive or not. Can I tell you that song the young man just sang, there's nothing too hard for the Lord tonight. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Matter of fact, wasn't long ago, I had to go humble myself down, do something that I really didn't want to do. But you know, by me doing that was not so much for that person. It was for me. It released me. It freed me. And glory to God, it's wonderful laying down, knowing you ain't got a hold in your heart against nobody. It's wonderful. There's a man in the chain gang tonight for what he's done to me. I wouldn't trade places with him. You know, somebody said the other day, well, my brother, he ripped my mama and daddy off when I wasn't looking. My brother, he's got a huge problem with sin, and he's drained mom and daddy dry. And I've turned around, mom and daddy has nothing. And I'm going to tell you what I've learned from that scenario. Well, I wouldn't trade places with them. If they got every dime your relatives have, I wouldn't trade places with them. I'd rather have your place than their place tonight. So quit throwing rocks and whining. I wouldn't trade places with them. God's been good to me. Has God been good to anybody? Been good to me. Matter of fact, before I got saved, I'm glad I didn't get caught doing some things I've done. That's just the grace of God. And I realize a lot of you come up in them white lily sack dresses, but I didn't, friend. I've been over in the hog pen a few days. And I'm not proud of it, but I can tell you this. I got some scars I can look on me, and I know where I've been at. I sure don't want to go back to where I was, and I might not be where I ought to be tonight, but thank God to heaven, I ain't where I used to be by the glory of God. If somebody's got you in prison because of unforgiveness, it's your part to forgive. Release yourself. Release your family. And get out of that bitterness and that torture chamber that you're in. God can't bless unforgiveness. And lastly, God can't bless unfaithfulness. People, I'm going to say a Bowden vernacular word. People confuse the far out of me. I talk to people, and this is what they tell me. I know I need to be in church. I hear you preach it. Well, won't you do it? Unwillingness. Unfaithfulness. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 25 and 19, watch the Bible tonight, Proverbs 25 and 19. You can underline this because you'll find it to be true. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Read that again. Confidence in an unfaithful man. You always remember this. You better not put your confidence in nobody that's unfaithful. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broke tooth and a foot out of joint. Galatians 6, verse 7. Boy, God honors faithfulness. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. Young people, remember this. Don't be deceived. We live in a culture that they have short-term goals. And it seems that if you're not rewarded in a short-term time of life, you say, well, it's not worth it. What we're dealing with tonight is eternal things. They're not temporal things. But he said in Galatians 6 and verse number 7, be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh he's going to reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. We ate at Osaka Friday night. That's not my wife's favorite place, but she grins and bears some things. I love fried rice. Can I get an amen tonight? I love to pour that white gravy stuff they've got over it. Get some of them fried shrimp. Told Renee, I said, the only place I don't like about this place is the people you got to set with. I don't like setting with crazy people. They some things I got to deal with, but I can choose where I eat and who I eat with. And so me and Renee had said our blessing, and in come a family, and he introduced himself, and they were a nice family. He got to asking me, and conversation came up. And I asked him where he went to church. He told me, and his wife spoke up. She said, "We're starving to death." Just voluntarily, we're starving to death. And I made a statement. He said, "You mean you say that out of the pulpit?" I said, "Yes, sir, I don't make no beans or bones about how you go to heaven. You go to heaven by the blood of Jesus. It's cut and dried. That's the end of the conversation." He said, what kind of songs do y'all sing?" I said, "We sing out of the red back hymnal." She said, "Oh, my Lord, that would just be wonderful." Well, got to talking, and they asked me this. "Well, you mean it's really that way? Y'all really preach and believe the old time?" Well, yeah. Yeah. My wife got in on a conversation, gave us a compliment this week. Young man here in Bowden talking to a lady, and he's talking about some things and events. And he said, "You take Liberty Church down the road." He said, "They're growing and God's blessing them, and they're real strict." And he said, "You know, that works for some people, but it don't work for me." Well, I can tell you why it don't work, because you won't mind the Bible. He said, "You know, at our church," said, we opened up the other night with the Eye of the Tiger. I thought that was a Rocky song. I didn't know Rocky was up in our Bible. Did anybody know Rocky was in our Bible? Eye of the Tiger. And he said, "Yeah, sometimes we have the Osmond Brothers songs." And, you know, he said, "People don't understand what hallelujah is." I said, "Well, praise God. If somebody shout hallelujah, they'd understand what it was." They said, "And you know, amen, by the way, what does amen mean?" Nobody in our culture knows what amen means. I said, "Well, they do down Liberty Baptist Church. It means amen. I agree with that. Keep on preaching, preacher." And he said, "We don't say nothing about the blood of the Lamb in our songs, because no, this culture don't know nothing about the blood of the Lamb." I agree with that, honey, but it better be some men rear back and go to preaching about the blood of the Lamb and the Lord soon to come. And the only way we get home is by the blood of the Lamb. And it ain't by achy, breaky heart. And so They paid us a compliment. Thank a liberal Baptist church. Thank God I'm not a liberal preacher. I'm so glad when they think about me, they think, oh, that's that mean preacher. Instead of that's that spineless wimp that's running women all over Bowden. Dating girls in his church, 15 years old. And grow up to be married 30 years and a husband find out about it and they divorce. Let me tell you, this ain't my first rodeo. I ain't backing off nothing. I'm going to keep telling people Jesus loves them. There's one way to heaven. If you want to act crazy, me and you both going to pay for it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody said you can cover up ugly. You can educate ignorant. Can't fix stupid. Some of y'all need to wear a few more clothes. Somebody say amen. I like that. I like adding that little cliche to that. You can cover up ugly. Lord, I wish some of them folks down here at Gulf Shores would remember that. I wish some folks in Bowden would remember that. In Hebrews 10:25. Matter of fact, I guarantee you 50 years ago, nearly every Baptist church in this county would be strict. Hebrews 10:25. This might not be a good sermon put on the radio Sunday morning. You know what the Bible says, though, that a scripture always sticks out in me. Rebuke before all that others may fear. I know a man. Listen to me. Listen to me before we go home tonight. It ain't but 5 till. Let me tell you something. I understand a man making a mistake. That's no issue. All through that Bible. But I'm talking about a man with a pattern. For 25 years been pastoring churches and living like the devil. They ought to run him out of town. You hear me tonight? I'm not up on a box crowing saying I'm all perfect and I got every I dotted every T cross. But they some things men of God don't do. Hebrews 10:25. And I tell you what I told the man. I said, and I can tell you another reason why I can preach the way we do. Because I've got some people that will stand with me. And he did this on his belly. I'll go along with that. You ought to stand up for your preacher. And Miss Preacher. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is. But exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Young people, I understand your children's going to play ball. I know that. I think it's healthy. I think it's good. I think there's great things. But when sports becomes a priority in our homes, we went wrong. We're going to get help at the house of God from the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the people of God. We need each other. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Watch as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approach. These people calling services off every place. And I'll be honest with you, I can understand why. It's not the preachers that's forcing them to do it. It's the people forcing them to do it. There's a lot of you who drove a long way to be here tonight. I commend you for that. But you know, it's real easy to say, well, we just shut the doors. What's the use? We won't say nothing about the blood. Well, somebody's got to learn about the blood. Nobody knows what amen means. Somebody needs to be teaching folks what amen is. Y'all got way too quiet on me. I mean, we have visitors come in. I stand on important issues of the day, and y'all looking around like, I mean, you ought to say amen. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. If I'm out of that book, tell me I'm out of that book, and I quieten down. But until then, say amen. I told him this, and I'm done. I said, sir, I found out years ago, and I told my people this. If we'll just keep doing what this Bible says to do, we'll have something to offer to a community that not many churches have to offer. That's preaching, that's teaching, that's the altar open, that's training up children, that's teaching them about the Holy Spirit of God, the workings of God at the house of God. It can't get no better than that. You can go out yonder and rent a movie what the average church is teaching people. Go get you a Rocky movie on Saturday. That's wonderful. Praise God, I love him. He just kills thousands. I mean, he's got a thing on the end. He shoots on his bow. He just takes the whole town out. But let's leave it out of the church. Let's leave it out of the church. You know, I've got no issues with having fun. But let's keep church, church. Respect God's house. They call and say, well, we want to use the facility for a car show. We're not in the car show business. Throwing their cigarettes down every place. Kicking their beer bottles out on the lawn. Somebody's got to pick that trash up. Running in your house, using your bathroom, smoking, and you're going to give me 4 heart attacks. Well, your building's so beautiful, we want to rent it for a wedding. If it's not good enough for you to go here, it ought not be good enough for you to get married here. If you don't pay your tithes and keeps the lights running, we not for rent, we ain't for sale. This place is gorgeous. We're going to try our best to keep it beautiful. It ain't for hire. It ain't for rent. It ain't for sale. We just driving by. Y'all church here is pretty. How much y'all charge for y'all's church? Ain't for sale. You know you want to be as kind as you can be. We just don't do that, hon. You don't do that. I'm glad the Lord loves us tonight. And we got a good place to go to church. And we got great leadership in place. And you ought to be praying for every one of us. You ought to be praying for every family in this church. The Laodicean church age has got us. It's creeping in on us. You know what my job is? Kick the beehive over. That's right. Get right up where you live, right up in your face, and tell you what thus saith the Word of God and not back up off of it. Now, it's not popular. And you get invited to a lot of funerals and a lot of feuds, not many fish fries. So if any of y'all got any extra crappy you want to cook, invite to preach, I'd be glad to come eat. I'm just involved. You know, I feel like sometime I'm on that fella there at Family Feud. Got a coach. Sometimes I feel like I'm a referee. I need a whistle, striped shirt, and a hat. And then Brother Will's here. Then I need a big red hat. Some call me the fireman. That's my name. Call the fireman. He's been preaching to me for a year, and I ain't applied nothing, but call him anyway. And I'm not whining, I'm just preaching. Just telling you how the preaching is. It's a lonely life, to be honest with you, a lot of times. But it sure is a wonderful life. Got the best boss in the world. Got the best boss. Me and Brother Will did a little truck trading this week. Can y'all imagine that? I went to get the oil changes. I tell you how good God is. Me, just little things. I pulled up and I said, I want you to check everything because I know this boy ain't checked nothing. They slammed the hood and said, Preacher, it looks pretty good. I pulled out my credit card. He said, you don't owe nothing. Next. I come home and talk to her. I said, honey, Lord, just give me about $50 today. I said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The devil told me when I quit my job, I'd never have nothing. I got pretty nice clothes. Pretty nice ride. Wonderful church to preach in. Got some mean people to preach to. God's been good to me. You hear me? God's been good to me. God's been good to you. Boy, He's been good to me. I just wasn't going to do it. I just can't get away from it tonight. I want you to play something, Miss Cher. I want to open this altar up tonight. You know, maybe I've covered an area tonight you needed to hear about. Won't you come ask the Lord to help you with it? Nobody's bid us but you and God's. Maybe He spoke to you in a way and your heart's got a little cold and you've got unthankful, you've got unwilling. So many jobs in a ministry like this that needs to be done, and so many times very few people to do them. You know, maybe you ought to really just look around and think how good God's been to you. We not at Eggleston with you tonight. As of yet, the phone hadn't rung. We're not down at Rainwater with you tomorrow night. But I can tell you what, even if the phone does ring and all that happens, God's still been good to us. Because He makes no mistakes.